Hello, and welcome back to DebtWired. I'm Amelia Weitzman, a direct lending reporter at DebtWire Europe. And today I'm joined by Niall Cattoon, an MD and portfolio manager within Oaktree's European Private Credit Strategy. In this episode, you'll hear Niall's outlook on the European private credit market, an update on the Oaktree Lloyds Bank partnership, and where the firm is seeing opportunities heading into year end. Thank you so much for joining me, Niall.
Thank you for having me.
We should start by setting the scene, which is that in July, Oaktree announced a partnership with Lloyds, designed to pave way for the bank's entrance into Europe's direct lending market and support UK middle market sponsor-backed borrowers. This partnership is one of very few currently, but one that many market players are trying to replicate. Can you tell us about how the joint venture came to be, firstly, and how it's going?
Of course. Well, firstly, we're absolutely delighted to have announced the partnership with Lloyds in late July. For us, it presents a great opportunity for our capital to play in an area of the market that has traditionally competed against private credit. The UK is and has historically always been the largest market in Europe, and within that, Lloyds is truly a leader in sponsor-backed transactions. In terms of the partnership itself, it's still relatively new, of course, but already we're encouraged by both the volume and the quality of opportunities we're seeing, as well as the feedback that we've received so far from Lloyds' core sponsor relationships.
Amazing. And how would you say the Lloyds-Oaktree partnership differentiates itself from other comparable lending initiatives currently in the market, like SMBC and Park Square?
Well, as you rightly point out, we've only seen a handful of lending initiatives historically. But I actually believe we'll see more going forward. And in fact, that has already been proven in the period since we announced. I would characterize our relationship with Lloyds as very much a partnership in the truest sense. Not only do we work hand in hand behind the scenes on all elements of the transaction, but we also sit alongside each other from a capital perspective too. And that's absolutely key.
And what does the Oaktree Lloyds partnership mean for target companies? And how does it help address their financing needs in a potentially tighter credit environment?
Well, your question comes to the heart of the idea behind the partnership, which is ultimately to increase Lloyds' single name hold capability and give their clients a one-stop shop solution. Now, in today's credit environment, and with capital becoming ever more commoditized, sponsors are increasingly looking for certainty and speed of execution. And that's exactly what the partnership can offer. In addition, our ability to engage in bilateral discussions often gives us the opportunity to offer a more bespoke solution as and when required.
And I'm very interested to hear, have you encountered any unforeseen challenges yet? And if so, how have you overcome them?
Well, we spent a meaningful amount of time with Lloyds during the due diligence process, agreeing the eligibility criteria, the investment parameters, and of course, the governance provisions. What we found was a really strong meeting of minds around all of these elements. And of course, transactions will always throw out something unexpected, but we feel we're very, very well placed to overcome any potential challenges.
And in terms of risk management, what are some of the key risks you're keeping an eye on in the European private credit market? And how are you positioning Oaktree's portfolio to mitigate them?
Well, look, despite a sluggish M&A market, private credit activity is the busiest it has been in 5 years. And the second quarter of this year in particular saw a significant rise in refinancings. Now, having said that, it's sensible to throw caution to the wind, and I'm going to talk about two risks. Firstly, at a portfolio level, many borrowers are likely to feel the negative impact of elevated rates. Many companies have seen their coverage ratios decline quite meaningfully over the last 2 years, and the practical evidence of these liquidity pressures is the increasing demand for PIK-only structures. Now, this can help sponsors avoid having to inject additional cash equity, but it may not be enough for companies with unsustainable capital structures. You asked as part of the question how we mitigate those risks. Well, my answer will come as no surprise, and it's ultimately by ensuring we spend as much time on the downside scenario as we can. It's about the primacy of risk control. And as Buffett famously said, never forget the 6-foot-tall man who drowned crossing the river that was 5 feet deep on average. In other words, it's not sufficient to set up a portfolio that will survive on average. The key is to survive at the low ends. The second risk, and I'll talk about this from a market perspective, is that historically private credit has always been an institutional drawdown product. But one of the themes we've seen that has come over from the US and is obviously making its way now into Europe in a big way is the growth in private credit-focused business development companies, which are also known as BDCs, which have become accessible to high net worth investors. The issue here is that it has the potential to place pressure on rapid deployment in order to avoid dilution, and that in turn has the potential to influence decision making and increase leverage in transactions.
Do you perceive the rise in retail investors in the private credit market to have inherent risk?
I think it's a great question. And ultimately, what it comes down to is an investment manager's ability to balance retail capital with what typically has been closed-end and long-dated instruments. And so long as the balance is there and the liquidity can be generated as and when it's required, I think it will work. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
And which subsectors within the market would you say are attracting the most attention from private credit investors right now?
Well, I believe the long-term prospects for both sponsor and non-sponsor backed private credit remains attractive. You just have to look at the dry powder that private equity funds still hold, which is at an all-time high. And if you were able to support that at any sensible debt to equity ratio, the requirement for private credit is still hugely significant. I also think there are a number of other areas that we certainly are paying close attention to that are a little bit more niche, perhaps. Firstly, strategies with sector-specific experience, I think, will be well-placed to benefit from a knowledge advantage. And at Oaktree, we have a number of such areas of focus, including life sciences as an example. Another area, NAV finance, has experienced tremendous growth in recent years as market conditions have shifted and private equity funds have had to find alternative ways to raise capital. In 2022, Oaktree formed a partnership with 17 Capital, that's a preeminent player in that space. And then last but not least, as regulatory pressure continues to restrict commercial banking, you know, private credit has a great opportunity to gain market share in what's estimated to be a $5 trillion market for asset-backed finance. And this covers credit instruments backed by contracted pools of cash flows from a wide variety of assets, such as equipment leases and royalty agreements.
I'm sorry to say that's all we have time for this episode. Thank you, Niall, and thank you, listeners. If you've missed any episodes, please visit iTunes or Apple Podcasts to catch up on DebtWired. See you soon.